tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters and people in our town and our locality. So every year as a team, we sit and we say, how are we going to do that this year? And that's what the vision is about. It's a big, grand statement, but how are we going to be specific in 2017? As a church family, what can we do to do that? Now, also this year, we've done at the end of last year, we did the Reveal survey, where lots of you filled in a survey asking questions about the spiritual health of yourselves, your church. And that also has really helped us as a team and informed some of the stuff that I'm going to say this morning. Now then, couldn't I help us just bring my tables forward for me, please? This morning is a morning of visual aids. Rob said this morning there's more visual aids than the band. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to put before you four images, four physical pictures that you can look at, and as the year goes on and when you think, what on earth is all this about in Maidenhead, you can remember me standing here with these tables, because there are four strands to what we're going for this year. Some of these will be familiar to you and I'm going to remind you about them, and some of them may be new. And if you're new here this morning, you're here on a great morning, because you're hearing about the guts of River, who we are as a family, where we're going to. So you're really, really welcome. Okay, so this one here, on the 8th of January, our first meeting here in River, I spoke and I challenged us, what's the most important thing for your life this year? And I challenged us that Jesus is, that actually he's the foundation, the fuel, the life that empowers everything that we do. And actually, our relationship with Jesus is so important. And I talked about our souls being empty and needing filling with living water from him. And I splashed around a fair bit of water. And I asked, how full do you feel? How full of life from Jesus do you feel? And I encouraged us this year to think about, how do I want to grow in my relationship with you, God? And if you remember, we had a big white tree of life, and everybody took a label and wrote on it what their desire was for their relationship with God this coming year. Now, as a leadership team, we had an away day a couple of weeks ago, and we took all those labels away with us, and we read them all out, and we prayed over them. And I just want to tell you that they were amazing cries from the heart, from people here who want to know Jesus better. And it was awesome reading them. And can I just say to you, Jesus wants you to know him like that. Now, what Reveal showed us is actually a bit of a reflection of that. The results of the Reveal survey showed us that we're a church who are great at community action. We're great at reaching out into our community. We do a good job of stuff in Larchfield, stuff like Samaria, That's a bit of a mixture of words, that is. We're good at that. And actually, that's excellent. But actually, where we are lacking a little is in our foundation, our relationship with Jesus. And what we risk becoming is an extroverted church. Great out there doing our stuff, but actually spiritually a little immature. And things like our daily spiritual practices, what we do to engage with Jesus, are actually quite lacking. So our reading of scripture on a daily basis, our praying, our engagement with Jesus on that level actually is quite low. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, aren't there? We've all got really great reasons why we don't get around to doing those things. But we'd like to change that, because we'd like to be a vibrant church that not only reaches out, but has a strong walk with Jesus as well. Now, the verse that's come through really strongly to us as a team through the Reveal study survey material and as we've prayed is this one. From Revelation 2, where the angel says to the church in Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you've persevered and have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. And we just felt, God is saying that to us as a church. Jesus is saying that to us as a church. I know what you've done. I know you've worked hard. I know you've reached out. I know you've labored. I know you've given your time, and you've not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, that was very sobering to us. It was sobering to me as a leader, because I very firmly believe that who I am as a leader is what I reproduce in my leadership team, and who my leadership team are who we reproduce as a church. So actually, to look at the Reveal survey and go, well, they're all not reading their Bibles and they're all not praying, was actually, whoa, hold the mirror up. Team, let's look at ourselves. Team, let me look at myself. What is my spiritual life like right now? Have I left my first love? Leadership team, have we done that? And do you know what? We have had some honest, vulnerable, tough conversations with one another. And we've realized that actually, that's probably true. Leading to us being a church that are very out there doing stuff, but we've just left our first love. Now, I've been quite challenged by this, you've left your first love. And I sat there and I thought, have I ever had a first love? Now, I'm not saying I'm not saved. You'll be really glad about that because I lead the church. That's good, that, isn't it? However, this is talking about Jesus. Have I ever known that passion in my relationship with the person of Jesus? I've been in River Church 30 years. I've been a Christian 35 years. I love God. I love all about it. I love church. I love being a part of it. I love being in relationship with God. We talk about the presence of God, all of that sort of a thing. But do I know the person of Jesus? Beyond him being the belief that gets me into the presence of God. Is that making sense to you? And as a church, as a leadership team, we asked ourselves, maybe some of us have left our first love. We have known that. We have known that passion for the person of Jesus, and it's just got lost in life. But maybe a lot of us haven't known that passion for Jesus in the first place. We need to discover a passion, a first love for the passion, for the person of Jesus. And as a team, we spent time together praying over that and thinking about that. And we're here to tell you that we're not saying to you, you guys need to come over here. What we're saying is, as a team, as your leader, we are going on a journey. Will you come with us? So there's the jar and the jug. And what we reckon is, we need to be refreshed. We need some of this water to refresh us. So our teaching series over the next few weeks, couple of months, is going to be called Refresh. And I thought to myself, well, what does refresh mean? I'm somebody who likes looking up what words mean. And to refresh means to give new strength or energy to. I want to give new strength and energy to my relationship with Jesus. It means to pour more drink for someone or to refill a container with drink. I liked that. Here's my soul. I want it to be full. My team wants their souls to be full of passion for Jesus. It means to be recharged, replenished. It actually means to be reinvigorated. It means to be resuscitated. Maybe your passion for Jesus has just died off. He's here to resuscitate it. So in this series, we're going to look at how to grow in depth in our relationship with Jesus, our passion for the person of Jesus. We're going to go on this journey together. We're going to look at basic things like reading our Bibles, because we know we need to do it, but we're not doing it. So let's find some ways to do it. We're going to look at praying. It's going to be helpful. It's going to be practical. And it is going to change our lives if we will allow it to. So that at the end of 2017, when I'm standing here in 2018, we'll be going, Come on, church. Jesus has done a new thing amongst us in our passion for him, for the person of who he is, that we know him, we love him, we trust him, we see the difference of him in our lives. So, strand number one. You can remember this picture. Strand number two. Our jar of risk. Okay, guys, so this isn't changing. We don't want to go all the way from over here, doing lots of things in the community and reaching out about Jesus, to being over here in this holy little huddle, not doing anything, talking to anybody. Our jar of risk is really important. So for those of you who don't know about this, this was a jar that every time last year, we did a teaching series called Living Water. Every time we had shared Jesus in some way with people around us, we took a ball and we put them in this jar. We want to keep doing that this year. People need to know the good news of Jesus, how good he is on their lives. So we're going to empty this and we're going to start refilling it one by one. Now, Colin last week at the River Together gave out these cards. Did you get them? If you're at the River Together. If you didn't, there are some here. They're little packs of cards to help you in sharing your faith, to help you in having those ball of risk moments. These have become known visitors as Kerry's balls of risk. It's a thing. So these cards are little cards that there's a little prompt for you. If you're sharing your faith with somebody, there are little cards inviting people to River. Because do you know what? How are people going to come here and find out how good Jesus is unless we invite them? They're not going to find out there on their own. We need to be people who are inviting people. Come to our meetings. We're not perfect. We screw up sometimes. But you know what? You'll find Jesus. So there's cards in there for you to do acts of kindness. Put cards down. Get some. If you didn't get a pack, come and help yourself. They're here and they're on the welcome desk. And what we want to... Oh, actually, yes, I think if you do one of these, that's a super bonus ball of risk. So I think there's going to be a distinction. There's ordinary risk balls and then there's super bonus balls. Probably need to get some colours, I think, for giving away one of Colin's cards. It'll make him happy. So what we want to do is we want to carry that strand on. We're not leaving that strand out. Yeah, we're two sides. Passionate about Jesus. Passionate to share him. Looking on the face of Christ. Loving everyone we meet. That's what we are about. Our third strand, the CAP Debt Centre. We began talking about this last year and we didn't manage to bring it into being last year. And we want to carry on this year. Instead of me explaining to you what this is about, I'm going to show you a video. Dave, thank you.
My name is John Kirkby. I'm the founder and international director of Christians Against Poverty. I'm here to introduce the work of CAP through our CAP Debt Centre. Hey, there is poverty in your community. All you need to do is look outside your church and you will see lives that are devastated by spiraling debt and the poverty that stalks those unable to make their repayments. My own life was devastated with debt. I had two little children. I was struggling to feed them. I didn't know what to do. And it was the local church that reached out to me and showed me that there was a community that cared. And it was that gave me the inspiration to start CAP in 1996. We are here to empower you, the local church, to reach the poor through our debt work, to see lives transformed and do it all in Jesus' name. Please, please get involved and open a CAP debt centre.
What we see is in CAP is people actually brought back from the brink of suicide, from despair, from fear, from anxiety and all of the financial worries bring. We see marriages restored, we see families restored, lives changed, transformed, not just for now, but for all eternity. And so for me, to sum up CAP would be life-changing, absolutely life-changing.
In the last 9 years that our centre's been running, we've been able to help somewhere between 800 and 900 families in our local community who are struggling with debt and living with the consequences and the impact of debt. And that's been amazing, the inroads that's given us, not just with individuals, but also the reputation that we've been able to build up with local agencies we work with the council, with other people in our local area. And also in that time, we've seen more than 60 people make first-time commitments to Christ and step into a relationship with Jesus. And many of those people are still part of our church community, have become embedded, have become friends of our church, and members of our church, and that's been so exciting to see.
One of our core values is that we always work with local churches because we believe the local church is the hope of the world. A CAP debt center means you will be invited into the homes of people who you wouldn't normally meet. It means you can sit down in front of people who are broken and hurting to give them hope and the good news. A debt center will let you tackle some of the biggest needs that people in your streets and neighborhoods are facing today. Firstly, we will give your church a highly professional debt service. Our award-winning debt counselors will deal with the technical detail of the debt advice, negotiating with the creditors, and setting up debt plans. This enables you, the church, to do what the church does best, meeting practical needs, showing unconditional love, and sharing the good news of Jesus. Secondly, the team of the regional managers sat behind me will train and support your debt coaches in all the technical side of things, as well as empowering them to be even better evangelists. Thirdly, we provide free short holidays for our clients. We see an amazing response to the gospel on these breaks because we take people away from the chaos of their lives and we demonstrate the love of Jesus to them. Fourthly, one in four of the families we visit have no food in their cupboards when the debt coach visits. CAP funds and enables you to bless these families with emergency food. Finally, a CAP debt center is not a building. You don't need an office because it's you, the local church, going into people's homes to offer this service. As you can see, with all we provide and the detailed nature of our debt advice and support for clients, it doesn't come cheap. But we so believe in partnering with the local church that we cover 2/3 of the cost of each debt center. We are prepared to invest in your local church, but we do ask you to join us in faith to help contribute towards the running costs. We'd love you to partner with us. Join us on this journey of faith so that together we can see God do an amazing work through hundreds of local churches uniting to tackle poverty here in the UK.
Anyone who's visited the Mill just knows that this is a world-class organisation, just run in a way which is highly professional. This is not just a bunch of people having a go, but it has really been thought through in terms of what they're doing and how they're doing it.
For any church who really wants to be involved in impacting and changing lives in their community, then opening a CAP debt centre is just a fabulous way of doing that.
For us as a church, it's been one of the best things that we've ever done. It really has transformed who we are, transformed our standing in the local community, and it has allowed us and enabled us to express God's heart for justice and reach a whole group of people that we would have never reached before. If you're thinking about it, I want to encourage you to look at it in detail and really consider going for it.
At Christians Against Poverty, we have the resources to really transform lives, but people are still being turned away because we don't have a debt centre in their area. We need you to become a partner and join with over 270 churches up and down the UK, just like you, to extend the reach into your community. We're really excited about what God is doing through the local church across the UK, and we look forward to partnering with you to see your community changed with a God who cares and an organisation that says yes.
Why would we not want to do that in Maidenhead? I just think that is just fantastic. It sits so well with our personality as a church. And we began it last year and we made some headway. We didn't finish the project. And this year, that is a priority for us as a church to finish that project, to reach out into our community and see people find freedom from the chains of debt, because they're chains and they bind people. And Jesus came to bring freedom. There are in fact now 306 debt centres and nearly 19,000 people were helped last year. We could be a part of that. Now, if you would like to be involved, we need debt centre manager. We need befrienders to go into homes. We need prayers. There'll be opportunities to get involved as we go through. But if you know now, respond now to something God's saying in your heart, come and see me at the end. Okay, so our fourth strand, here it is over here. Isn't this fantastic? This is a Lego miracle building. This was made by Richard Smith, the fantastic Richard Smith. Richard prayed. I'm told Richard prayed over the bricks as he did this. You need to come and have a look at this. The detail is extraordinary. There are even personalities in there. I'm in there somewhere. Also, R2-D2, that's interesting. I don't quite understand that. But that is amazing. And that is a visual representation of the Miracle Building. If you're a guest here, we as a church would love a home. We love to be here, but we've been nomadic as a River Church for 50 years. And we recognise that in reaching out into our community, in establishing a real ownership amongst us of this River Church family, a home of our own, a building, would just be so helpful that we could have. We wouldn't have to set up and take down. We would have what we needed. We could offer it out to the community. We could run events. We'd have prayer rooms. We've had ministry rooms. We could run the CAP debt center facilities from it, after school clubs, youth clubs, a place filled with the presence of God where people can come and get living water. And it's going to cost us. We've talked about it in the past. I've shared with you the prophetic words and the vision and how that is developed. It's going to cost us time, money, sacrifice, but we believe it's worth it to leave in Maidenhead a centre that will serve generations of people, not just us sitting here now. It's about our kids, our grandchildren being baptised there, worshipping there. It's about Maidenhead being different because we're in it. It's not just about a venue. It's about establishing a presence and a home that will serve our town, somewhere where we can raise Jesus up. Now, we've been talking about this for a couple of years. Year one, we were looking at a property in Cornwallis Road, which just ended up not being right. I just can't explain it. There was no peace on it. We just couldn't go for it. Last year, we spent most of last year, looking at a property in Reform Road. In the end, that property went, we didn't make a bid on it in the end. It went for bids in excess of $2 million to developers. And that was, we just felt that was just beyond our reach. It was too big, actually, for what we wanted, although we were dreaming big. It just felt right to let that go. So it's actually been bought and it's back on the market, but for short lets, which is no good for us. So we're on the hunt for a home. And shortly after the Reform Road property was sold, I was talking to Nigel Wolven, who's our commercial property agent, acting for us, River Maidenhead, in this. And we were talking through what could we do, where could we go, what could we look at, what contacts could we tap, who could we talk to. We had this big discussion, put the phone down. We didn't really make any decisions. My head was buzzing. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Went back to my computer, opened my laptop to just carry on working, opened my next email, which was my verse for the day, which said this: wait for the Lord. Take courage. Wait for the Lord. So I thought, okay, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it? So we're not sitting on our hands doing nothing, but we are waiting for God to bring the right place for us to have as a home. Later in the year, we took up an offering last year. Later in the year, we will take up another offering towards the Miracle Building Fund. We need to keep building up a fund. If you remember, a couple of years ago, I had a word from somebody who said, there's a breakthrough coming in acquiring buildings. There's a miracle building coming, hence the name. Getting that building is going to be easier than you think. If that's you, do something. Take a positive step forwards towards that. Open a bank account and put a pound in it. So at that point, I opened a bank account, the Miracle Building Fund, and put £100 in it and thought we're going to go for it. But today that stands at about 70,000, and it keeps growing every month as people give into it. I would encourage you to give monthly into that if you're able to. Small amounts. Do you know how they mount up as we keep going on this journey, as we keep walking this journey? So I just really encourage you just to keep doing that. And later in the year, we will take up another offering where we can sow into it as a church. So there you go. There are our four strands. So when you're thinking, what on earth is River Church about this year? What are we going for? Here they all are. And you can remember the picture of them being here. What I want to ask is, are you as a church family in on this journey with us? So I'm here standing. I'm in. Leadership team. Guys, are you in? They're not all here today. Jonathan, Mark and Ruth, they're out with the kids. Chris and Maddie are away. They're in. I know they're in on this journey to find a passionate relationship with Jesus, to keep reaching out, to move towards establishing a debt centre and to keep going for that miracle building. And what I want to ask you as our church family is, will you come on this journey with us? If you feel you're able to do that and there is no pressure, I just ask you to stand because I'd like to pray us all together to pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing privilege it is to know you. And how amazing it is to be in this church family together where we can bring your kingdom, heaven to earth, in Maidenhead and across our world. Lord, I pray this year you will help us move forward. This is showing us where we're going this year. Because like Alice said, where do I go? What's the way? And the cat said, if you don't know where you're going, what do you know the way? So Lord, would you fill us this year? Would you help us develop a passionate relationship with you? Would you give us opportunities to reach out, to take risks, to change our lives, the lives of people around us? Lord, would you bless our plans to open a debt centre, and would you take us down the road to a miracle building? And Lord, we just say, here we are. We are ordinary people. We don't have a lot of things in our hands. We can often feel very weak. But you, Lord, are the one who calls us. You're the one who fills us. You're the one who inspires us. You're the one who fills us with passion. And you're the one who will lead the way and we follow. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.